Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 27th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians teaches more about a special category of greater grace blessings than any other book in the New Testament scriptures, and that is suffering for blessing. That is a special category of greater grace blessing that is only given to winner believers. So most Christians in America today have no idea what suffering for blessing is. They know about another category of suffering, punitive suffering, divine discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. They know a lot about that, but they know nothing about suffering for blessing. That is for the winner believer only. And that is what Paul has been teaching throughout 2 Corinthians. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 15. For all this, and what all this? Well, everything that Paul has been teaching in verses 7 to 14. All this suffering for blessing that he has described in verses 7 to 14. For all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit. For the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving, gratitude to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, our human body, is decaying, it's going south, yet our inner man, our heart, our soul, keeps on being renewed day by day. Now for some of you, you'd have to rewrite the Bible and put month by month, week by week, whenever it's convenient for me to be here. That's not what it says here. Keeps on being renewed day by day. And then verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing for the winner believer, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. And that is the fantastic greater grace blessing. You see, only the winner believer has suffering for blessing. And that winner believer has the problem-solving devices, the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God. God gives that greater grace blessing package of suffering for blessing to give you the opportunity to clear it, to apply His problem-solving devices, to utilize His grace and His power so that He can pour out on you greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on our inner man. He contrasts the outer man, the human body, with the real you. The real you is the inner man. The real you is your heart and your soul. So in verse 16, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on what really matters. What really matters is the inner man. Paul is declaring that the inner man is far more important than the outer man, the human body. While the winner believer's outer man, his human body, is decaying, his inner man, his heart, is being renewed day by day by day. And in verse 16, the key verb that the Apostle Paul uses there, and he only uses it to, it's only found two times in all the New Testament scriptures, and that's the verb anakainao. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O. Anakainao. It's only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, both times used by the Apostle Paul in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16, and also in Colossians 3:10. And the two are very important. The only two, you have to study them together because Colossians 3:10 gives the mechanics of how this renewal takes place. Anakainao means to renew. It means to renovate. The present tense has strong linear action start. Keep on being renewed. Keep on being renovated. The present tense of anakainao, along with hemera kai hemera, day by day, demands a consistent and faithful renewal and renovation in the inner man, in your heart. The passive voice is the voice of grace. This renewal will only take place through grace dynamics, through grace perspicacity. And so you don't have to have my... I don't know. Why is that like that? You can teach an old pastor new tricks. You don't have to view my art. The only way you're going to be renewed day by day, well, it demands two things. It demands the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. You have to have that. If you're not under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, You're never going anywhere in the plan of God. And that pastor teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. And then right along with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is the filling of the Spirit. The two go together. God the Holy Spirit is not going to teach you apart from the spiritual gift of pastor teacher communicating the Word of God. The two go together. If you have the filling of the Spirit, but you're not under the authority of a pastor, you're going nowhere. You think you're going to study the Bible on your own? Well, you can go ahead and study the Bible on your own. If you could do that, I'd shut down the church and say, get the hell out of here. Go home and study the Bible on your own. See how far you get. You might get a thimble after years and years of your filling of the Spirit, studying on your own at home. Go home then. Go home, but stay home. The two go together. Spiritual gift of pastor teacher. The pastor teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. That's logos. He teaches the logos of the Word of God. Then God the Holy Spirit, you assemble, hopefully fill with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit takes that logos communicated by the pastor teacher and teaches your human spirit. And he teaches that logos, Bible doctrine, to your human spirit, and now logos becomes pneumatika, spiritual phenomena. And now that spiritual phenomena in your human spirit goes down to the nous, the mind, the left lobe of the soul, but there is simply gnosis information. It means you understand what's being taught if you were filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're not filled with the Spirit, but out of fellowship with God, then you distort the Word of God. You distort it to say what you think it ought to say, rather than what God says it says. So, if you're out of fellowship with God, you're wasting your time too. You need to stay home. You're grieving the Spirit, you're quenching the Spirit, but you're not filled with the Spirit, and you don't even have spiritual phenomena in your human spirit. So now if you are filled with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit combined with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher who teaches logos, now logos becomes pneumatikos, and now you comprehend what the Word of God says, but it's gnosis doctrine in your mind. But it doesn't benefit you at all. Not until you utilize your volition. Now, you have a volition. You all have a volition. Your volition go on negative pole. If your volition goes negative, you say, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching, and I don't believe it. Well, that's your prerogative. You're free to believe it. You're free not to believe it. You say no, it never benefits you. There's no spiritual advance. There's no spiritual growth. There's no metabolized doctrine in your heart. There's no epinosis doctrine. And there's nothing you can apply spiritually and accurately to your life. So you have a volition. It can go negative and say no. But at the same time, it can go positive. And if it goes positive, then you believe it. You believe that spiritual phenomena that communicated by the pastor and the filling of the Spirit. You believe it, and now gnosis becomes epinosis. Epinosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge. And that epinosis doctrine is transferred from the nous to the cardia. And now you have epinosis doctrine in the cardia, in the heart. And that is Bible doctrine that now you can apply to your life skillfully and accurately through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's grace perspicacity. And that is exactly how that operates. So the passive voice is the voice of grace. This renewal will only take place by grace dynamics. Grace perspicacity, Operation Z. The AO ending is a causative ending, and that is the positive believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is caused to be renovated, renewed in his thinking because of epinosis doctrine in his heart. And that is clarified by the Apostle Paul in the only other verse that has anakainao, Colossians 3, verse 10. We have the mechanics. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is caused to keep on being anakainaoed, renewed, renovated. How? Now Paul, in this verse, gives the mechanics. Keeps on being renewed and renovated by means of epinosis doctrine. Bible doctrine that through grace perspicacity you have believed and entered your heart. Epinosis doctrine according to the norms and standards of the image of its creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Epinosis doctrine is Bible doctrine that is believed, metabolized doctrine, circulating in the stream of consciousness of the heart. And this renewal and renovation of the inner man, the winner believer, is hamera kai hamera, day by day. Now, while that's the only two times that the verb anakainao is found in the New Testament scriptures, the noun that comes from anakainao, anakainosis, is found in Romans 12, verse 2. And in Romans 12, 2, we are given a prohibition. First of all, stop being conformed to the cosmic system. And that characterizes most Christians in America today. Stop being conformed to the cosmic system. But keep on being transformed by the anakinosis, the noun that comes from anakinao, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, namely that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we have anakainao used by the Apostle Paul only two times, and then he uses the noun anakainosis in Romans 12, verse 2. The objective of this day-by-day renewal and renovation of your inner man is to have Christ formed in you, Galatians 4:19. You have been clothed with Christ positionally at the moment of salvation through the baptism of the Spirit, Galatians 3:26 and 27. You put on the characteristics and virtues of Christ in your experience by being renovated, renewed, day by day through metabolized doctrine. The characteristics and virtues of the new man are according to the norms and standards of the image or likeness of its creator, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as you consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine day by day, you become renewed in the inner man, conformed to the likeness of Christ. Christians become increasingly like the Lord Jesus Christ. They have Christ formed in them, Galatians 4:19. As they renew their inner man day by day. And this is accomplished by the grace and power of God. This is accomplished by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, combined with spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing for the winner believer, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory absolutely beyond all comparison. And for the Apostle Paul to say that is absolutely amazing. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest believer who has ever lived. And being the greatest believer who has ever lived, he attained spiritual maturity, and God was free to give him the mantle of suffering for blessing. Greater than anyone else. Not one person in here has come close, not even close, to the greater grace blessings that the Apostle Paul received in suffering for blessing. Not even close. What is that? What was he able to be blessed with? Well, he describes it in 2 Corinthians 11:23 and following. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. How many times have you been in prison? There are believers that are in prison. They should be in prison because they're criminals. There are a lot of Christians who are criminals and they're in prison. That's punitive suffering. I have worked, Paul has not in prison because he's a criminal. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Was any of this punitive suffering? No! This was all suffering for blessing. This was a part of his greater grace blessing package, demonstrating and glorifying God through all of this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brethren. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. When's the last time you've gone without food? Oh, some of you have no problem with the food part of it anyway. I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. Everything he describes here is suffering for blessing that God can only give to the winner believer. And Paul was the greatest winner believer of all time. As you advance to spiritual maturity, and you keep advancing and you keep growing, God will be free to give you greater and greater and greater suffering for blessing. More suffering for blessing. And the more he gives you, and the more you clear those hurdles of suffering for blessing, the greater the crowns and rewards you will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, the crowns and rewards he will receive at the judgment seat of Christ, that uniform that the Apostle Paul will wear will be so bright you won't be able to look at him. Because he has had all this fantastic suffering for blessing, and through precisely correct procedure, utilizing God's problem-solving devices, he cleared all the hurdles and glorify God to the maximum. And that's why I say, and I think you can understand, the Apostle Paul was the toughest believer of all time. Nobody else has even come close. So again, verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. That everlasting weight of glory is describing the winner believer in phase three, in eternity. That everlasting weight of glory is emphasizing the greater grace blessings given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ, those crowns and rewards. These greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. Hope 2 and Hope 3. So, 1. A part of this transforming, a part of this renovation and renewing process is suffering for blessing. That special category of greater grace blessing called suffering for blessing. A part of this transforming, this renovation, this renewing process includes suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul taught this in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And in Romans 5, verse 3, he says, "And not only this, but also we keep on boasting, we keep on glorying in our sufferings." Now, he's not glorying in his any punitive suffering. He's not glorying in divine discipline. He's glorying in suffering for blessing. And he says, "And not only this, but also we keep on glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we," and we, ain't we? "We is only the winner believer, because we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance." Perseverance means steadfastness, fortitude. It means courageous endurance. And perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace, righteousness, and spiritual maturity. And proven character, demonstrated grace, righteousness, and spiritual maturity, produces and brings about hope, absolute confidence. And this is especially emphasizing Hope 2 and Hope 3, greater grace blessing for time, and greater grace blessing for all eternity. Verse 5, "And hope never disappoints, because the love for God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, who," the Holy Spirit, "was given to us," the universal indwelling of the Spirit given to every person at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And by the way, when they get up and walk out like that, you go out and tell them, "Don't ever come back. I'm had it up to here with all of this bullshit from some of you. Go find yourself another church. Get your patootie in there. Play your games in there. I'm not here to play games. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm His servant. I'm His minister. I'm not here to play games with you who are playing games. So when they walk out like that, you tell them, never come back. So point one again, a part of this transforming, renewing process is suffering for blessing. Romans 5, 3 through 5. A part of this transforming and renewing process is suffering for blessing. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Two, so for the winner believer, suffering for blessing in time develops perseverance, courageous endurance. It produces proven character, which is grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity. It produces confidence of greater grace blessing for time and eternity. It produces love for God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's all Romans 5, 3 through 5. For the winner believer, suffering for blessing in time develops perseverance, courageous endurance, proven character, grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, confidence of greater grace blessing for time and eternity, and love for God. Love for God brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Three, the faithful pastor teacher receives suffering for blessing, which develops great self-discipline and perseverance in studying and teaching the Word of God. The faithful pastor-teacher receives suffering for blessing, which develops great self-discipline and perseverance in studying and teaching the Word of God. Four, this is for the purpose that his faithful congregation, that's faithful congregation, will attain spiritual maturity and have God's problem-solving devices that will enable them to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum. This is for the purpose that his faithful congregation will attain spiritual maturity and have God's problem-solving devices that will enable them to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum. And what are God's problem-solving devices? Rebound, the filling of the Spirit, the faith rest life, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. And when you have those problem-solving devices out on the flat line of your soul, forward line of troops, you have the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God in the process. Five, this results in them receiving their greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. This results in them receiving their greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in the last epistle he wrote before his execution. And he was put in the Mamertine dungeon, and he was executed, not because he was a criminal, but because he was the greatest believer that ever lived on planet Earth. He was a Christian who glorified God to the maximum. And he was executed because he was a Christian. He was executed because he loved Jesus Christ. For him, to live was Christ, and to die was profit. He didn't die of old age. He was executed, decapitated. And this was the last epistle he wrote, was 2 Timothy. And at the end of 2 Timothy, he said he was looking forward to the crown of righteousness that was going to be given to him. Well, he not only will receive the crown of righteousness, he will receive the crown of life, he will receive the crown of glory, he will receive the most phenomenal greater grace blessings that will glorify the Lord forever and ever. Now, point five was, this results in them receiving their greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy, not to chapter 4, although that's deals with part of the greater grace blessing for the Apostle Paul. But I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Now, 2 Timothy, this is going to be a deep point for you. It's called a pastoral epistle because the Apostle Paul is writing to a pastor, pastor-teacher Timothy. So that's why it's called a pastoral epistle. So here is the Apostle Paul, and in the pre-canon period of the church age, there were two categories of communicators. There were apostles and pastor teachers. But we're not in the pre-canon period of the church age. We're in the post-canon period of the church age, and today there are only pastor teachers have the highest spiritual authority in communicating the Word of God. So here is Apostle Paul writing to pastor-teacher Timothy. And by interpretation, this passage applies to pastor-teachers and communicators of the Word of God, and Paul includes himself as an apostle. By application, this passage applies to all winner believers, spiritually mature believers. But by interpretation, it's looking at faithful communicators of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Keep on remembering Jesus Christ. That is, he's saying to Timothy, keep on being occupied with Christ. To live is Christ. Philippians 1:21. And he's telling pastor-teacher Timothy, keep on being occupied with Christ. Keep on remembering Jesus Christ. Keep on having your personal love for Jesus Christ, who was resurrected out from the dead, a descendant of David, according to the norms and standards of my gospel. On account of which gospel, I, the Apostle Paul, am suffering hardship, suffering for blessing. And as we saw in 2 Corinthians 11, nobody has ever reached the point to receive as much suffering for blessing as the Apostle Paul did. On account of which gospel, I am suffering hardship, Yeah, he's suffering hardship, all right. He has been arrested in the Mamertine dungeon, and he's waiting his execution. I am suffering hardship, suffering for blessing, like a criminal. He's not a criminal. He's the greatest believer of all time. Even to the point of imprisonment, and he is writing 2 Timothy from prison, waiting his execution. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Paul says, I'm in prison. I'm going through another series of running spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. I'm in the Mamertine dungeon. They're going to execute me. And that's all a part of suffering for blessing. But he says, even to the point of imprisonment, but the word of God is not imprisoned. And for this reason, I keep on enduring all things, enduring all categories of suffering for blessing because of the elect. This winds up being a blessing to all the believers who have been under the authority of Paul and have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. For this reason, I keep on enduring all things, all these categories of suffering for blessing because of the elect, for the purpose that they, the royal family of God, those who have been under the authority of Paul and advanced to maturity, that they may also attain deliverance in times of suffering for blessing, which deliverance is provided for those who are in Christ Jesus, accompanied by eternal glory, greater grace blessing for all eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is an amazing passage because this was the culmination of suffering for blessing for the Apostle Paul. He's not going to have any more after this. He will be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. This is the final and the greatest of all his suffering for blessing. So, one, the faithful communicator of the Word of God does not quit. He does not run away in times of suffering for blessing. The faithful communicator of the Word of God does not quit. He does not run away in times of suffering for blessing. Paul is waiting his execution. He hasn't quit. He's completing the last epistle that God wanted him to write, 2 Timothy. So the faithful communicator of the Word of God does not quit, does not run away in times of suffering for blessing, in times of great pressure or adversity or persecution or suffering. Two, rather, in times of suffering for blessing, he uses God's problem-solving devices. He uses God's problem-solving devices. Rebound, filling of the Spirit, faith rest, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. So rather, in times of suffering for blessing, he uses God's problem-solving devices and clears these hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. 3. Suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator of the Word of God develops courageous endurance and perseverance. Suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator of the Word of God develops courageous endurance and perseverance. And as we studied in Ephesians 6:10 to 20, the Apostle Paul encouraged the royal family of God that were under his authority to pray for him. What did he ask them to pray for? That he would teach the Word of God fearlessly, as he ought to teach the Word of God. Pray for me, he says, that I teach the Word of God fearlessly, as I ought to teach the Word of God. Is that how you pray for Pastor Olson? That I will teach the Word of God fearlessly, as I ought to teach the Word of God? And some of you will probably go out of here and you'll be praying for Pastor Olson, all right. Ooh. Boy, he needs to calm down. Well, really? I tell you, some of you ought to have been under the authority of Pastor Colonel Thieme. And when he came to Dallas for a Bible conference, I was one of the men in the back, and somebody got up and walked out on him while he was teaching. And he said, "Dick, get that guy coming out of the balcony." I went out and I shot him right there. Coming down the stairs. I said, "You know," I said, "you think you're more important than God or the Word of God? This man is teaching the God-breathed scriptures. You're not more important than the Word of God. You're not more important than the teaching of the Word of God. And you get up and do that, you are saying you're more arrogant than God is. You're more arrogant. You're making an issue out of yourself. You don't have enough poise to sit there with manners and courtesy." And he went on out. Well, the colonel came out. He said, "Dick, did you grab that guy? What did he?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." "Well, what?" I said, I told him he was disrupting you, disrupting the teaching of the Word of God." "Did you tell him, don't ever come back?" I said, "No, sir, I didn't do that, but I'm definitely going to do it next time. I should have shot him." And he wouldn't come back. "Next time you tell him, don't ever come back." So, and I tell you, can't tell you how much I love the colonel. I loved him. There's nobody that gave me a greater love for the Word of God than the colonel did. That it's more important than the air that you breathe. And I love sitting under his authority. And and all that I understood. Well, I understood exactly why he's doing it. He was doing it because there's very few people in the time in which we live today that have manners, poise, that have respect for God, for the Word of God, for the teaching of the Word of God. Very few. They get up, they move around, they walk in, they walk out, And they're making an issue out of themselves. They're saying that they are more important than God or the teaching of the Word of God. And all they're really saying is, I am an arrogant jackass. That's all they're saying. I guess I'm going to have to go back and go through manners before we start. I thought after the 47 years I've been here that I communicated those things and didn't have to keep going over it. But I guess I got to go back and go over manners. And if you can't keep your patootie sitting in the seat with poise, without talking, without walking out, then when we pray before the class, then just get up and leave, because you don't belong here. I didn't think I still needed to do that. But I guess I've been too damn nice. And I hate the word nice. I don't want to be nice. I hate the word good. That's a four-letter word. I hate the word nice. That's a four-letter word. I don't want to be nice. I don't want you to say Pastor Olson is a nice guy, nice man. I never, ever thought of the colonel as being nice. I looked at him as a general communicating the truth of the Word of God. And I loved him very, very much. So rather, point two, rather in times of suffering for blessing, he uses God's problem-solving devices and clears these hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. Three, suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator of Bible doctrine develops courageous endurance and perseverance. Four, therefore he keeps on keeping on studying and teaching Bible doctrine, feeding the Lord's sheep. Therefore, he keeps on keeping on, studying and teaching Bible doctrine, feeding the Lord's sheep. Five, he stays in the game and clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul, with all of those fantastic categories of suffering for blessing, he didn't quit. He didn't run away. He stayed in the game. He kept clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing until God said, your ministry is done here. It's time to come home. He stays in the game and clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Six, suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator results in his congregation being blessed. Suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator results in his congregation being blessed. Seven, the faithful communicator suffering for blessing intensifies his personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. The faithful communicator's suffering for blessing intensifies his personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, and it motivates him to keep on feeding the Lord's sheep. It motivates him to keep on feeding the Lord's sheep. Eight, the result of this is that you are blessed. The result of this is that you are blessed. 9. The pastor teacher is on the front line of the angelic conflict. He's on the front line of the angelic conflict. The faithful pastor is, not the loser pastor. The faithful pastor is getting shot at all the time. 10. Satan, the ruler of planet Earth, does not want the absolute truth of the Word of God to get into the souls of believers. Satan does not want the absolute truth of God's Word to get into the souls of believers. And he will do anything and everything to shut it down. We're in the post-canon period of the church age. And in the post-canon period of the church age, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is absolutely essential for the spiritual growth of the royal family of God. And the Apostle Paul teaches that in Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave some as apostles. That was a temporary spiritual gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. And some as prophets. Another temporary gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. And some evangelists. That's a permanent spiritual gift in the post-canon period of the church age. And some pastor teachers, a permanent gift in the post-canon period of the church age. And then from that last gift, pastor teachers, for what's the purpose? Why did he give this gift of pastor teacher? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the edification, the building up, the edification of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the epinosis knowledge, of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ, to a mature man, spiritual maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, false doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but Aletheo, communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God in virtue love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every pastor teacher supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, spiritual growth, for the building up, the edification of itself in virtue love, having virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, brought to completion in your heart. Only going to happen by getting under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. If there is no function of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, then there is no spiritual growth for the royal family of God. 11. While reversionists living in the cosmic system are blessed by the devil, pseudo-blessing. Yes. Anything that Satan gives you is a pseudo-blessing. While reversionists living in the cosmic system are blessed by the devil, pseudo-blessing, as the ruler of this world, winner believers living the spiritual life will advance to maturity and receive suffering for blessing from God. That special greater grace category of suffering for blessing from God. Satan provides pseudo-blessing for reversionistic believers who serve him, but God gives greater grace blessing, including that special category, suffering for blessing, to those who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and glorify Him. Satan puts maximum pressure on God's faithful servants who have the self-discipline to study and teach the Word of God. And the result of this is you are blessed. And that's 2 Timothy 2:8 through 10. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.